Chapter 15. Anselmo was crouched in the lee of the trunk of a big tree, and the snow blew past on either side. He was pressed close against the tree, and his hands were inside of the sleeves of his jacket, each hand shoved up into the opposite sleeve, and his head was pulled as far down into the jacket as it would go. "If I stay here much longer, I will freeze," he thought, "and that will be of no value. The Inglés told me to stay until I was relieved, but he did not know then about this storm. There has been no abnormal movement on the road, and I know the dispositions and the habits of this post at the sawmill across the road. I should go now to the camp. Anybody with sense would be expecting me to return to the camp. I will stay a little longer," he thought, "and then go to the camp. It is the fault of the orders, which are too rigid. There is no allowance for a change in circumstance." He rubbed his feet together and then took his hands out of the jacket sleeves and bent over and rubbed his legs with them and patted his feet together to keep the circulation going. It was less cold there, out of the wind and the shelter of the tree, but he would have to start walking shortly. As he crouched, rubbing his feet, he heard a motor car on the road. It had on chains, and one link of chain was slapping, and as he watched, it came up the snow-covered road, green and brown painted, in broken patches of daubed color. The windows blued over so that you could not see in, with only a half circle left clear in the blue for the occupants to look out through. It was a 2-year-old Rolls-Royce town car camouflaged for the use of the general staff, but Anselmo did not know that. He could not see into the car where 3 officers sat wrapped in their capes. 2 were on the back seat, and 1 sat on the folding chair. The officer on the folding chair was looking out of the slit in the blue of the window as the car passed, but Anselmo did not know this. Neither of them saw the other. The car passed in the snow directly below him. Anselmo saw the chauffeur, red-faced and steel-helmeted, his face and helmet projecting out of the blanket cape he wore, and he saw the forward jut of the automatic rifle the orderly who sat beside the chauffeur carried. Then the car was gone up the road, and Anselmo reached into the inside of his jacket and took out from his shirt pocket the 2 sheets torn from Robert Jordan's notebook and made a mark after the drawing of a motor car. It was the 10th car up for the day. 6 had come down. 4 were still up. It was not an unusual amount of cars to move upon that road, but Anselmo did not distinguish between the Fords, Fiats, Opels, Renaults, and Citroëns of the staff of the division that held the passes and the line of the mountain, and the Rolls-Royces, Lancias, Mercedes, and Isotas of the general staff. This was the sort of distinction that Robert Jordan should have made, and if he had been there instead of the old man, he would have appreciated the significance of these cars which had gone up. But he was not there, and the old man simply made a mark for a motor car going up the road on the sheet of notepaper. Anselmo was now so cold that he decided he had best go to camp before it was dark. He had no fear of missing the way, but he thought it was useless to stay longer, and the wind was blowing colder all the time, and there was no lessening of the snow. But when he stood up and stamped his feet and looked through the driving snow at the road, he did not start off up the hillside, but stayed leaning against the sheltered side of the pine tree. "The Inglés told me to stay," he thought. "Even now he may be on his way here, and if I leave this place he may lose himself in the snow searching for me. All through this war we have suffered from a lack of discipline and from the disobeying of orders, and I will wait a while still for the Inglés. But if he does not come soon, I must go in spite of all orders, for I have a report to make now, and I have much to do in these days, and to freeze here is an exaggeration and without utility." Across the road at the sawmill, smoke was coming out of the chimney, and Anselmo could smell it blown toward him through the snow. "The fascists are warm," he thought, "and they are comfortable, and tomorrow night we will kill them. It is a strange thing, and I do not like to think of it. I have watched them all day, and they are the same men that we are. I believe that I could walk up to the mill and knock on the door, and I would be welcome, except that they have orders to challenge all travelers and ask to see their papers. It is only orders that come between us. Those men are not fascists. I call them so, but they are not. They are poor men as we are. They should never be fighting against us, and I do not like to think of the killing. These at this post are Gallegos. I know that from hearing them talk this afternoon. They cannot desert, because if they do, their families will be shot. Gallegos are either very intelligent or very dumb and brutal. I have known both kinds. Lister is a Gallego from the same town as Franco. I wonder what these Gallegos think of this snow now at this time of year. They have no high mountains such as these, and in their country it always rains, and it is always green.